you feel riding hands and heels and you know you've gone, gone? How do you feel? How do you feel?
Welcome to Wolf Den's Super Saturday Session. And what a turnaround from last week's washout. Today, it's Infinite Sunshine, a soft five at Eagle Farm, and three Group 1s are ready to pop. Plus, we're trackside for the grand opening of the Kew Greyhound facility and the first ever Group 1 there. We kick off with a Stradbroke Golden Ticket on the line and the biggest race of the day, the Group 1 Kingsford Smith over 1,300 metres. Jolie Star's the headliner, but Giga Kick Benedetta and Komachi all bring serious class. Speedmap suggests Sarastro leads. Let's see who explodes late. We're starting with the best of the best, Fizzer. We've got the best race of the day, so we're going to get the best bloke, punter.
No, thanks. Nice of you.
Mate, the Kingsford Smith Cup, cracking race. Jolly Stars just trickled in over the last few days. What do you make of it?
I don't know anymore. I'm leaning away from it. The way the track's playing, it looks pretty leaderish to me. Jolly Stars definitely not going to be up in the front, so... It is a scary prospect for those who want to back the favourite in this race, I reckon.
So you think that it's a bit hard to make ground?
Oh, it's been super hard.
They seem to be coming to the centre of the track,
but they're not making ground. So there has been a couple make the ground through the middle, but they've never got there. So the horses on speed have definitely got the advantage.
Okay, so who are you leaning towards?
Oh, look, the boys are super keen on Komachi. It's been well backed. I think the $9 that you see up there on the screen, that actually isn't there anymore.
Yeah.
So it'll be up there on the speed. Zarastro's a speed horse. You know, like Giga Kick gets back, Rise at Dawn, depends what happens with it, if it it's quick enough out of the gates. Yeah, so those on speed are definitely horses that people probably want to lean towards.
Okay, just quickly, in the Morton Cup earlier, front page was pretty good.
I thought front page was really good actually, because the money all came for Hidden Wealth. King's talked about it on the Saturday set. It was $7 into about $4.
Mm-hmm.
It got a soft lead and looked like the winner coming around the home bend, but front page, Polyclass kicked in there, I reckon.
Yep.
Front page, obviously, another speed horse. So, Ford on strongly ended up running away on the line. So it was a good race. There was a couple of good runs in it. You talked about the horse that
Punch Lane.
It looked gone around the bend.
Yep.
You said it was a sort of like a barrier trial for the Stradbroke or something.
Yes.
It came again on the line and ran really good through the line. So that was a good run. And then Warney came home really strong through the centre.
Can any horse in that race win the Stradbroke?
Oh, a couple of them won't be going there, right? So
most of them won't be, but...
I would say no.
Yeah, I mean, front page hasn't been confirmed yet.
Say that those are second tier.
So front page can't win the Stradbroke?
I never say can't, but 1,400 front page, Straddy, nah.
Leave you out?
Yeah.
Let's bring the Casting Couch boys in. How are you, boys? Ready for a huge afternoon on the punt?
Yes,
what a privilege it is to be here. We're going to have a good afternoon, aren't we? We've got a little bit of greyhound action too. Both of you boys love your greyhound action.
Yeah, love a bit of greyhound at the queue.
Can I get your quick thoughts on this race? They're about to jump.
I like Komachi. Sat wide.
Yeah, you've been talking
two.
About Komachi all week. Yep.
Yeah, it just might be Johnny on the spot here. It's not. She's a good horse, but like she's just going to map in the right spot and might just be the last one standing.
Very good, Uncle Mal.
Nah, nothing for me. No real thoughts.
Just a great race. Looking forward to the spectacle.
Yeah, cheering home Komachi for the boys because I know Junior's been talking about it all week. So exciting. Here we go.
So Rise of Dawn, Prominence, Arastro leads as expected. Golden Mile put in some pace into it.
Yeah, I think they're all jerrying to the track pattern probably.
Yep.
Jolly Star not too far away.
No, and J-Mac trying to keep it in touch, right? Doesn't want to get too far back, obviously.
He's not silly.
No. Benedetta in a pretty nice spot, ready to pounce if need be. Komachi getting a nice trail.
Yeah, Komachi's getting the gun run.
Beautiful run.
Other ones in the market.
It's probably going to get to the right part of the track at the right time as well, isn't it?
I don't know if it's travelling there.
Healed up a little bit.
Jolly Star got a lot of work to do. Yep. Here we go. Big test for Jolly Star. What's she got? Benedetta in the mix. Komachi flat. They got plenty of work to do, the back markers.
Jeez, it looks heavy.
Golden Mile. Battling away in front.
Wow.
Perfectly read by Fizz. Here comes Jolly Star. She is flying.
You just can't make it. It's just.
Get there.
She gets there.
It's a huge bob on the line.
Did she get there? I thought she did, but.
Cameraman agrees with you, Richard.
I thought she won.
Wow. Now that's
a big win.
It's a big win. That is just
nothing,
a big win.
Nothing made up ground there other than.
That's just a class racehorse, isn't it?
That was exceptional.
The last sectional, that last 100
will
meters.
Will it get the bob, though?
I mean, she's going to win by half.
She's got a big bob inside, but she got there easy.
Easy in the end.
But look Kamachi. At that. They were the first two round the bend, those two horses, Gold Mile and Zarastro.
So yeah. Let's just watch here. We've got Giga Kick coming on. Obviously, there's Kamachi. What's that? Fourth Rise of Dawn was up there. Benedetta a bit flat. Giga Kick's the story there. He was a bit flat, wasn't it? But I guess you can argue that the track conditions didn't play his way.
Yeah, I don't think he's going as good as he was.
Yeah, I'm just not sure Giga Kick. Yeah. The not Giga going. Kick of old.
Benedetta, I'm not sure, is going. Keeps getting allegedly unlucky, but...
That wasn't unlucky today. That was just, it was in front of Jolly Star. So yeah. Benedetta.
But let's just watch this last sectional here. This is just so impressive. That's a proper racehorse, isn't it?
It's a good win.
Yeah, it's a good win.
She really knuckled down there late, didn't she, the last 50, 100 metres. And yeah. She really got over the top of him well.
Query's on the rest now.
Yeah, well, that's a huge Stradbroke trial. But look, 7 days is a long way away. Obviously, you've got to factor in the backup factor. But let's go and hear what Chris Waller's got to say about whether they plan to back up into the Stradbroke. Welcome in, Smalley. How are you, mate?
Yeah, good. Good to be here.
The Kingsford Smith, interesting race. So the first thing is that Chris Waller's now broken his own record for the most amount of Group 1s in a season. Team Waller keep rolling on. J-Mac's pretty close to Malcolm Johnson's record as well, the most Group 1s in a season. It's actually J-Mac's first ever Kingsford Smith. Now, my first question is around the winner. Obviously, fantastic win. Waller says that going to... almost certainly go to the paddock and then head towards an Everest. What would you be doing with Jolly Star in the spring?
Oh, I'd love to see her run in an Everest. We'd love to see all our good sprinters clash with Hong Kong stars.
Yeah.
So, I'd love to see her in Everest. And yeah, she didn't look very comfortable there today, did she? But still knuckled down, got the job done. So,
and she'll probably have a little bit of residual fitness towards the Everest as well because she's gone pretty deep into the winter. An interesting thing is, though, that Chris Waller did say that if you want to, you know, focus on Everest, you miss out on a few other Group 1 opportunities. And I just wonder if that's the start of some connections of horses saying, let's bypass Everest this year because of the Car Ying Rising factor.
Quite possibly, yeah. I suppose there's always lots of Group 1s around, isn't there?
Next up, it's the Queensland Oaks. 2,200 metres for the fillies and a wide open contest. Filly is unbeaten this prep and flying. Waller's got a sneaky one in moving out. The blue colours have Panito, who is fresh and dangerous. And then there's Benagil, who is arguably the best horse in the race and could blow them all away. Expect a real staying test. All right, moving to the Oaks. So I would imagine that the way the track's playing, this sets up perfectly for Filia. Should, you know, be on pace and maybe just keep going.
Yeah, definitely. It has looked a little bit hard to make ground. Like, I originally wanted to be a little bit against Filia. I thought she was possibly a little bit susceptible up the 200 metres, but yeah, things do look to be falling into place for her.
Yeah, anyone else out there that excites you?
I thought Jenny's Meadow from Barrier 1 might be able to sit a little bit closer. I thought she was pretty strong in the lead up. And I know that Junior's keen on Sweltering as a roughie, and I thought it was a solid roughie at 30s.
Boys?
Yeah, I like Sweltering. Sat wide in the SA Derby, 50s. I think you just have to roll forward if you're Rachel King from 17. You just have to. And then, yeah, Filia looks well suited. Not really saying much, but...
Yeah, I think Philly gets to the right part of the track on speed. Looks to set up pretty well. I thought Ben and Jill and Jenny's Meadow, they're probably going to be on the inside, on the inferior part of the track, back as well, a fair way. But yeah, I think Philly should be the one here.
And you'd imagine Zara's going to be pretty prominent on Ben and Jill. He doesn't want to get too far back, does he?
Definitely give her a dig, try get her to set a little closer.
Philly giving a little dig out.
Yeah, very.
Got a few to cross, though. There's a few going forward.
She's going to be in an awkward position, I think.
Might be able to slot in. Yeah, she's sort of half.
Girl Rachel.
Mm. She get cover?
Can she get it? Not quite.
She might.
She's three wide at the moment, right?
Yeah. But the thing might let her go inside her.
The Shangri-La impact's going on with her.
No cover.
Sweltering outside the lead.
She's just like that. Yeah.
I reckon they'll slow it up. They're going pretty hard early, but I reckon they'll start jamming the brakes.
Yep. Jenny and Benagil are a lot closer.
So the favourite has done work to get where it needs to be there.
Yeah, but overall, you've got to be pretty happy, right?
Yeah.
They'll start pretty wide off. Draw.
Timmy Clark will start slamming on the brakes, for sure.
And this is the part he slammed on it.
Now, just looking back, where are we, Benagil? Where's Benagil, number
fence.
One?
Three about the fence, four about the fence.
Rachel King's landing on the 1-1. This is just a sensational ride for the Sweltering punters.
Meadow and Benagil might be able to slice through and get off, right, with some of the tiring horses in front of him here.
Real class, making a bit of a run. Here comes Panito wide. They're all coming at Filia. She looks a bit flat at the moment. She's going to have to really dig in. Panito in the blue colours looks prominent. She's a dealer.
Filia gone.
Panito.
Ella's hanging on.
Yu Wang. Looks like Yu Wang's going to be too strong.
It's not She's a Dealer, sorry.
Yeah. Benagil switched back to the inside.
Benagil flooding home.
Flying late. Panito. Yu Wang. Yu Wang.
Treasure the moment form again.
Yeah. Because remember, Yu Wang loomed up and looked like he was going to win ATC Oaks. And Chris Lees thought he was the winner, but now he is the winner of an Oaks. Philia was the story. She just had nothing.
All the on-paces looked like they had nothing.
So Benadryl ran another solid race.
I think she was a bit unlucky.
Yeah, it was unlucky. Tried to go around them and then had to go back to the inside.
And Panito was good too. Made a long searching run.
Yeah.
Moving out came on a little bit towards the end there.
Panito probably was in the right part of the track.
Yeah. Now to the Derby, the classic 2,400-metre test for the three-year-olds. It's a wide-open race with no clear leader, and half the field are stepping up to the trip for the first time. Fillies have won the last three major derbies, and Belle d'Etel and Femminile look the best hopes to keep that streak alive. All right, we're getting close to greyhound action time, so we've got to bring in our greyhound expert, but you also do love the horses, Mr. JC, Jason Campbell. Welcome to the party, son.
Yes, in the hot seat today. Very excited for you guys to have me here. Feel a bit like Lockie Galvin, just jumping into a winning formula. Hopefully, don't mess everything up for everyone, but excited to watch the Queensland Derby unfold.
You look a little bit nervous. You're never nervous during the dogs.
It's a bit of a different jurisdiction, I guess. So hopefully we can tip a winner.
All right, mate. Well, let's look at the Derby. It's tough out there. The track's playing a bit funny and hard to know really what to do, but what are you thinking, mate?
Yeah, well, obviously, it's a tough enough task as it is. 18 runners in this field, three-year-olds over the 2,400 metres. The track's probably favouring first horse to the crown. So I'm playing a bit of value in this race. I didn't mind the two Imperialist. He let up the rough habit, changed tactics there, I think, from a wide barrier of Tommy Berry just winning the Queensland Oaks. So he might be a rough hope. And also number 20, the Muffin Man, I think. He led a lot of races early in his career over the 1,400 metres. I know Junior mentioned him earlier. I think he's one that has the right progression here, stepping up to the 2,400 metres in those famous colours for Ethan Brown.
You're up and rolling, son. Great work. Hey, Junior, you said there's only three hopes in the 2025 Queensland Derby. Who are they?
Well, yeah, it's very open race, obviously. But, I like Mason Louis comes out of the same race as the Belle d'Etel. It's probably going to set it in front of it. It was good to the line last start. Rogan won the Muffin Man race and it was a good win last start, but probably going to get a bit far back, but it's 100. So. And the Muffin Man can roll forward, sat wide last start, give you a big sight.
Yes, Uncle Mel.
Grand final day for Belle d'Etel.
Yes.
I thought it could sit much closer here. I thought they were a little bit negative from the barrier last time around and got a long way back. And some of the work through the line there was quite good. We know what Waller's like in terms of peaking them on the right day. And I think that might be the case here. Statuario, obviously, you've got to give it a chance as well. I thought sort of got zigged when it should have zagged in the SA Derby, went to the outside when the winner went up the inside. Barrier 5 can probably sit a bit closer and maybe get to the right part of the track, but I think Belle d'Etel, they've got to go forward for it to be any chance, but if they go forward, it's a real good chance.
Great work, boys. I'm excited.
Yeah.
Away we go. Woo!
Belle d'Etel going back.
And they're off.
To last.
So that's Belle d'Etel way out the back with literally going to be last.
Yep.
That is very odd tactics. But it is J-Mac. Who am I to judge?
J-Mac Waller. What will we be saying in elapsed time?
That's right.
Muffin Man's going forward.
And then it's weird. And he's quite wide on
looks
Belle
d'Etel. Looks very untractable. He looks like he's trying to get in the three wide sort of line. There is a three wide line there.
Yeah.
They can track up to be a bit closer. But
sure, we got a plan.
Yep.
He does have a plan. Is J-Mac working forward wide, wide on this horse? Yeah, this is just a really bizarre.
I don't think they're going very fast.
No.
Yeah.
No, but he wanted to hook it back to last out of the barriers.
Look at this. This is mid-race. This is a very interesting tactic.
He's confident.
He's going on with it. Here we go.
Could be the horse too. She's a very headstrong horse.
Yeah.
We saw in the Oaks.
There's 1,200 to go. Is he going to go on with it? He has to, doesn't he?
He'll have to go.
He has to go on with it.
I don't mind it.
Statuario getting a lovely fifth.
Yes.
Getting prominent now.
He hasn't spent a penny. But
is he going to get through here?
He's going to be in the worst part of the track.
How did he get inside of Lavellier?
It's amazing.
Wow.
They're all trying to get off the inside.
No, they're all trying to get off. That's why.
Sure.
Needs to track the
leader. There's going to be a few hard luck stories, I reckon, through here.
He sprints on.
G. Belle d'Etel's going to have to be good to win from there. Done a lot of work.
Who's that? The other Waller horse?
Not great that she's under the bat already.
Existential Bob.
Yeah, it's going.
What do you got, J-Mac?
In the nose roll.
Yeah, the nose roll. It's going.
This is intriguing, boys. Statuario getting into it. Lavellier, existential Bob.
Mason Louis popping through.
Mason Louis. King of Thunder out wide. Imperialist hits the front.
King of Thunder coming pretty prominent.
Come on, Mason Louis.
Is that Mason
Lavellier?
Mason
Louis. Lavellier, King of Thunder.
It's Mason Louis. Go, son.
Mason Louis.
Yay.
Well done, Junior.
Something for our friends at the O'Shea Charlton Stable.
Yeah.
Friends of the show.
So bang. Very, very well predicted, Junior. Did that work out how you thought it would have?
Well, yeah, I just thought it didn't eventuate that. Well, at the start of the race, Mason Louis settled in front. But shit, Mason Louis was actually better late last start than Bell to Tell. But yeah, it's just a J-Mac Waller factor, and Mason Louis probably started a bigger price as well.
And what do we think this is doing for the idea that the track's very leaderish and you can't make up ground? The last few races have gone against that pattern, really, haven't it?
I think it's just up and off. You just got to be there at the turn. You just don't want to be last making wide, sustained runs.
Yeah. Mm.
Sometimes as well, like, you'd have to look at the sectionals, though, that, you know, the jockeys overcorrect because they're trying to get to the front and trying to be prominent in the race. As you saw, like, that steer from J-Mac, I thought, was a little bit bizarre.
Mm.
Out of the barriers, he basically just hooked it back to last and was happy to drop out the back, and then sort of they went slow and he took off, which was, you know.
It was odd.
You don't mind. I don't mind a mid-race move, but I thought that he could have been more positive and sort of been there already without having to burn the gas from the back.
Yeah. JC, any last thoughts? Thoughts on J-Mac's ride?
Too good, John O'Shea and Junior. J-Mac's ride, I don't know. She's a bit headstrong, I guess. Maybe she's one for another preparation. She's only a little slight thing and she's been up for the best. This is her first preparation still, so she might be a wait for age star in the next 12 months or so, but all honours go to Mason Louis, King of Thunder, and John O'Shea.
And just to round out these three-year-old classics, we don't think any of these are going to feature in the big races over spring, do we? They're all going to be four-year-olds by then. It's just, you know, they've won their Group 1 races, great for them, but yeah.
I think that's a challenge, isn't it, though, for those horses to step up and take that step to wait for age level.
Yeah.
You know, you always find one or two coming out of the Brisbane winter, but who knows if it's out of this race.
And another Group 1 for John O'Shea, Tom Charlton. Good friends of the Den.
Stable flying.
Airborne.
Sorry, Junior, were you trying to say something?
Oh, yeah, I think average race, but I think Chase Your Dreams might be a nice young stayer coming up in the next prep.
We wrap up Eagle Farm with the listed Helen Coughlin Stakes over 1,200 metres for the fillies and mares and a key lead-up to the Group 1 Tats Tiara in 3 weeks' time. Godolphin's Kin looks ready to break through. Comrade Rosa thrives at Eagle Farm, and Tashi brings consistent form at higher grades. Big field, strong tempo, sets up beautifully for the late swoopers. Boys, last race before a beautiful dinner up at the Dolphin Hotel. We'll talk about that in a second. A little bit of Tats Tiara warming up. This is probably the third grade of Tats Tiara horses, but, you know, you never ride any of them off. Tashi looks like it's been a real big go. Mr. JC?
Yep, Bubba's Bay also very well supported. I'm happy to trust the in-flight form line. She was heavily supported this afternoon and she won a listed race at Randwick. And the two runners that I thought caught the eye behind her last start was obviously number 6, Kin, for J-Mac and James Cummings. And the 11 there, Midnight in Tokyo, she actually begun really well from a wide barrier but was restrained. I think she can sell a lot closer and at $26 probably is the way I'd want to go in the race.
J-Mac might be a little bit angry after the way the Derby turned out. So he might be looking to finish
potentially
on a winning
note. I feel like if he stayed back there personally, she would have lost by just as far, if not farther, just based the way the track's been playing. Sure. So I think he had to make a bit of a decision. And
all or nothing, yeah. Yeah, it didn't work out. Fair enough. Hey, Junior, Bubba's Bay's been a bit of a go. It's sort of looks like it'll be very much on pace. Do you think that's why?
Yeah, it's sort of an on pace, just chiseler, just gets up there and whacks away.
Yeah.
I was with JC, I like Kin. I think it's Hawkesbury first up. I thought she should have won behind in flight, went back to the inside in the worst ground. And she just looks like she just might be in the right spot today, smoking behind the leaders and over the top. And I thought Fortunate Kiss could run a race, was decent in the Wongoom in Warrnambool.
Great work, mate. Uncle Mal, how are you going on the punt today, quickly?
Yeah, going okay. Yeah.
Any multis still? Multis still in the air?
No, no multis, all dead. Okay. I've been following.
I believe that.
It's getting cut out, please, later. Bro, come on, seriously. Looked a tough race to me, this one. Smallie tipped me Zazu, so I'll just follow him. It's got the Sydney form going up there, so see how we go.
He's rattled, eh, boys? I've got him rattled, haven't I?
It's now, not funny, though.
Can you please take your mic back?
Are you going to come
to the Dolphin for the dinner? So just to let people know,
no.
Mal complained that he's got to walk 850 metres to the Dolphin. Wow. The Den's going to shout him a beautiful meal, beers,
come on, mate.
Yes. Beautiful steak, whatever you want, porchetta, beautiful
mate,
pizza.
I almost dropped an F-bomb there. Mate, what are you talking about? The bloke over there, he started the complaining on Wednesday about how far the Dolphin was. So don't.
We can get the
I think your gripe
rail.
Is with him and not with me.
I need an answer. Are you coming to the Dolphin?
We'll see how we go. Bubba, going to work across from the wide draw there, right?
Yes.
You going to cut them off?
Terramatta's going
who's
forward.
Who's this getting lit
there's
up?
There's another
in the
one, Navy on the Highway. Yeah, Navy on the Highway. It was well supported a little bit as well. Yeah. There's a bit of support for it.
Former good horse.
Kin's about eighth with cover.
I think it's actually
line.
A great sport. I think they're burning turf.
Yeah, they look like they're going pretty quick.
Midnight in Tokyo's doing the grunt work.
It is. Travelling well.
J-Mac's done the right thing there. He's popped off and got in the three wide line.
And is he going to get a trail on?
I don't think he's.
I think Tarshi's got to get the gaps.
Here comes Kin
to the centre of the track
and gone.
Terramata.
Midnight in Tokyo looks like it could be the one here.
Yeah, Tarshi about to burst through.
Nah, Midnight in Tokyo.
Tarshi.
Nah, I think it's got him. Tokyo.
Come on. It's got to be sick, isn't it?
Zazu, the fence.
Oh, Tokyo.
Hold on.
What a
Zazu on the fence.
That's four.
Who gets the...
Zazu.
Surely. Smalley. Had something on. A little bit.
Good price.
Trying to reverse mock by saying Tokyo's home.
Interesting. That's I think that's the first winner that's come up the fence, isn't it?
I'm not sure.
Certainly the second part of the day.
Mm. Good win.
Yeah.
If it won.
Don't think any of them probably going to feature in a Tats tiara.
Oh, my God.
No. Oh, no. He got beat.
Oh, that is just about a dead heat.
Wow. I think he might have got beat.
Midnight in Tokyo, three wide, no cover.
Something leaked.
Jeez, I thought it was...
It Loom the winner.
Yeah,
just
it
peaked
the winner.
In the last three or four strides. That's as
probably just
as
a hard trip.
I think the inside, but...
Always.
Just, it still even looked home here, right? And then it just starts wobbling late.
Yeah, the run. Kin flashed home late as usual.
Told.
14. Zazu.
14 gets it.
Smalley wins.
Smalley.
Too strong. Uncle Mao.
All right, we'll be back for a huge night of racing, JC.
Fins up.
At the Q2, it's all on. Can't wait.
Fins up.
We're back from the Dolphin, and now it's time to focus on the Q, the stunning new home of Queensland Greyhound Racing. With three elite tracks, a huge bistro and bar, it's a top-tier entertainment venue, and it launches tonight with the $225,000 Group 1 Flying Amy. And this is just the beginning. All roads lead to the feature of the carnival, the $1 million Brisbane Cup on July 5. And tonight, we've got two Brisbane Cup preludes. In the first prelude, star sprinter Good Odds Cobber returns after a dominant debut at the Q. History's Coming looks a threat and Poor Vortex is the improver. But this could be a Cobber clinic. JC, we're back from the Dolphin. We lost a couple of good men up there, didn't we? Uncle Mal and Junior, we lost them to the circuit.
Yep.
That's okay. They're probably better off
falling
out
to
there
our
in
man,
the big wide world.
Dream Team Matt, he took them. Currently, they're held hostage with him. Unfortunately, one of his mates is leaving. I thought it was the country or state, but it turned out to be a gym. So now you throw parties for that. So anyway.
Jumping from one gym to the next. Well, they're throwing a party at the Q2 tonight, JC. It's a real shame we're not there. What a magnificent facility at full flight tonight. Wonderful to see. Been so well received by the overall Greyhound community, hasn't it?
100%. It's opening ceremony night at the Q2. So we saw previous races there. All the patrons out on the grandstand enjoying a beverage or two and watching some ripping Greyhound racing.
Now, we're going to start with a bang because Good Odds Cobber, arguably one of the best dogs in Australia, going to see him go round.
Yes.
What'll be interesting tonight too, so Blue Blend ran 29.29 in one of the heats of the Flying Amy last week. So obviously a very small sample size, but we've got a bit of a benchmark around track records there. It'd be interesting to see what kind of times these dogs can do. So Good Odds Cobber, I think, ran like 30.2 when it won last week. So, yeah, look, it'll be interesting to watch the clock tonight, give us some sort of perspective on how fast these dogs are going. This first race, Iconic Jet's been a big go.
Yeah, massive go in late betting. The WA Raider for Shane Train Williams, he has run some really fast times in multiple states now. He did trial around that 29.80 mark at the Q about a week ago leading into this race. I think the speed in this race will come from the 1, the 2, the 4 and the 7. They've all got their fair share of speed on the night. But I've decided to lob with Good Odds Cobber here. He's closing in on $1 million in prize money. He's just a tick under $900,000. Last week, albeit the time wasn't fast, it was on the Saturday night where they did reschedule the races. This was the last race on that card, so it was a really heavy track. I think he can run significantly quicker here. And I think the bolter in this race, or the second bolter, number 5 History is coming for Tony Brett. Prior to his last start 6, he won 2 races in really good fashion at Wentworth Park. He's a dog that's equipped with a really, really sharp turn of speed. I think he can potentially get across to second, third here and he might run you a bit of a race at odds.
All right, JC, a bit different to horse racing. Can't afford to miss the jump here.
Yep.
Here we go.
Ooh, Good Odds Cobber steps well. He's got to take the lead over from Bear's Bullet. I think he'll be home and hose if he crosses Bear's Bullet
here. He's got across Good night, nurse, you say?
Good night, nurse. Bears Bullets, she won't be running him down. History's coming. Might potentially get second there. Iconic Jet in box two. He's done and dusted. He'll curl up late. Good odds. Cobber, he's got to run really, really fast time. Yeah, well, this will be very interesting to test 29.29
is the current track record.
Let's see. Bears Bullets held on well enough there for second. Poor Vortex, the Victorians run home well. Might have snatched third on the line from the New South Welshman. History's coming. 29.50.
Okay. Not too bad. There's been a couple other dogs early in the night run 29.50 as well. So
yep.
He's warming up. Good odds, Cobber. But look, great run. He's right in the thick of the Brisbane Cup, obviously.
I think he'll represent New South Wales in that State of Origin
Absolutely.
Series. And he might back up this Thursday night for our live stream. So brilliant win. It was sort of his race to lose. He was the clear class run of the race. Had a vacant inside him and Bears Bullet in box one, who likes to get back to defence. And Iconic Jet's probably just not up to this level over the nation. So fair winner.
He'd be a chance to be in the match race, wouldn't he?
He would be, but yeah. I think he'd need to improve off that effort if I'm being really harsh on him.
On to Prelude 2. Gets late early, draws wide, but gets clear air to launch. Smooth Plane is the favourite from the one box. A true pro who'll box seat and finish strong. Mapunga Smokey is the blowout. Loves it wide and can surprise if he pings. JC, we're rolling here. There's been a bit of money for these dogs out wide. Mapunga Smokey is a bit of a smoky.
Yes, he is. He won in really brilliant style two starts ago at the Q1 lakeside over the 550 metres. Has since failed. However, back to the 520 here, back to a two-turn track. Small field, all ticks for him. I'm looking to be against one of the two here, as the market suggests. I think Smooth Planey returned from a couple of months off. Run seventh there in the Ballarat Cup. I think he wants to get to the middle of the track, as does the two Irish Bill. I think four here, Taramina, despite her running very slow there, 13.56 at her lone start at Q2. I think she's the likely leader here. And number five, Affluent. He could get across in the second position. $10 looks a pretty reasonable price for him. And then obviously number seven there, Mapunga Smokey, the market mover at $5. So I think those are the three we're going to be watching out for.
Here we go.
Green light on. Taramina's getting ready to ping out our box four, hopefully. She's pinged.
Ooh,
will she get across?
Gets late early's
home. She's very strong, I reckon. I think she'll be very hard to beat from there. Oh, Taramina's kicking. Smooth Plane's kicking. This is a very tight race. Smooth Plane's got to beat them all. Wow, that race changed complexion multiple times. Taramina just run off the inside. Smooth Plane's
Irish Bill not totally
quite strong.
Done with.
No, he's done. Smooth Plane's a very, very strong dog. He gets the chocolates. They run 1-2. I potted them both.
Time. What's the time?
29.60, I reckon. Not much quicker. Yep, Smooth Playing for Tom Daly.
Got out.
Pretty good training performance in the end. He's run first up.
29.5 again, I think I heard.
29.50. Yeah. Yep, that's a pretty good run for Smooth Playing, running very similar to Good Odds Cobber there. Yeah, I guess he will now be put away for a couple of weeks and line up a Brisbane Cup heat in a fortnight's time.
Flying Amy time. It's the first ever Group 1 at the Q, and what a race we've got. Sooty Keeping draws to lead and has the form. But Blue Blend lit up the clock in his 29.20 heat last week and could be anything. Summer Quinn will ping the lids and Gambella's lethal with clean air. A fitting finale to a historic night. JC, we're going to get there. It's been a marathon. We're finishing off with a Group 1 racing. How good? First ever at the Q2. First driver at the queue in general.
Sharpest sprinters underneath the age of 30 months across the land congregate here at the Q2 Parklands. We've got Gambella for Anthony Azzopardi, $4.40 favourite. The market mover and the fast qualifier for last week, 29.29. Blue Blend number
seven. I'm excited about Blue Blend. I like seeing a superstar dog on the way up. I'm hoping that it can come out and smash the clock and we might have a new star. But anyway.
A star is born.
It's not unlike R.I. to get ahead of himself.
Yes, Blue Blend. Unfortunately, if you're in connections, you've probably got to finish unplaced. Ooh. After you've given it the R.I. mock. Yes.
Fair enough.
But I am with Peter Legogiane in number six, Summer Quinn. I thought she looked the likely leader in this race. I was opposing the inside boxes, Can You Escape and Sooty Keeping. I think they both want to be drawn off the track. Blue Blend, I think, is the main danger. Although I said all that negativity about him and yourself, I think if he gets close enough, he's certainly strong enough to run over the top. So I'm with number six, Summer Quinn, to lead and win. Danger, number seven, Blue Blend. Group 1 Glory, who is going to take out the Group 1 Flying Amy Classic at the Q2 Parklands? First Group 1 ever. Jumping Best is the three. Oh, it's tight.
Blue, they're going to all smash into each other. Who gets through?
Oh!
Blue Blend out of play.
Looks like Sudie Keeping's about to take the lead in the check. She's going to be very hard to beat. Destroying there for Anthony Lord. Box eight, trying to get across. Can you escape? Just checked out of things. Think it's going to be Sudie all sewed up on. With Sudie Keeping. What's coming? Nothing's coming. Sudie Keeping leads all the way. The one, Can You Escape, runs second. Third, Colac Kid for Jason Sharp. Fourth, Gambella. Boxes 1, 2, 3, 4 there, all right. Not much change. I potted boxes 1 and 2, and they're on the Quinella. How good's that?
And Blue Blend was a little slow out and then got in a bit of trouble as well, so a bit of a disappointing run for her and those connections, him and those connections. But, yeah, Sudie Keeping, first Group 1 winner at the Q2, at the Q. It's been a great day.
Yeah, it's been a great day. I've really enjoyed it. Great horse racing, great greyhound racing, really tight, competitive, compact field there. And Sudie Keeping comes on top for Tony Brett and Charmaine Roberts.
The great game, it was at its best today. We've got a huge week coming up. What do we got? We've got .com and then Mondays where we'll talk about all the horse racing around Australia, in particular from Brisbane. There's some great racing there. On Thursday, we've got the Saturday set, of course. In the nighttime, we're going to do a live stream and we've got a late Ladbrokes Mates Mode pot on State of Origin. Not you'll be in here for that. That'll be good fun. We'll have a good chat about all things to do with racing and whatever else.
The
whatever
King Zone will be here. We'll have a King few Zone fans. Dream, teams dream team.
Uncle Mal
will
be
here. Junior will be back off the circuit. Yeah. We'll also have a few friends coming along. And Troy Little and myself, we've got a lot of planning to do the next couple of days to get winners for the Ladbrokes
up. Then on Saturday, we're doing another Saturday session and we're doing a Ladbrokes Mates Mode pot for the biggest day of the Queensland horse racing year. So up the den. Thank you for support. It's been a long day. Rest up tonight. Enjoy your Sundays. See you later. Imagine what you could be buying instead. For free and confidential support, call the number on the screen or visit the website.